Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our text is the gospel lesson, Luke 7. Let us pray as we consider the word of God today. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and help us to hear your word, to receive your word with gladness and joy and great faith. Grant us all the Holy Spirit, we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. As we know, Christmas is a time of great, great, often unrealistic expectations. We all tend to have some pretty high expectations this time of the year. I'm sure that most everybody here in the pew right now, you're expecting to receive gifts at Christmas time. Am I right? And maybe not just one gift, maybe not just two, maybe not just three. I mean, some of the kids are expecting maybe double-digit gifts. I'm probably right, huh? We expect most of us to receive some kind of a gift. It better not be too cheap. Maybe some cheap ones, but there better be some really nice gifts. We kind of expect that. And when we give a gift, we expect to be thanked and praised for the wonderful gifts that we gave. We kind of like that too, to be thanked. And during this time of the year, we expect to get family together. And even if family lives a long way away and has to travel many miles, we kind of expect them to catch a plane or drive and get together. The family needs to be together at Christmas time. And we expect for the family to get along, for there to be peace. And that's kind of unrealistic when you get older like I am. Just be with your family and forgive. And we expect there to be parties. We expect there to be good food, Christmas cookies, and fudge, and hot soup, and snacks. And at Christmas time, Christmas Day, we expect not hot dogs and hamburgers. That's 4th of July. We expect to have ham or turkey and wonderful food. My mom in Indiana makes prime rib now on Christmas Day. We all kind of like that and expect that, don't we? And in the church, you have expectations. You expect to have nice decorations up. And one thing I know we all expect is to sing all the Christmas carols. I hear that a lot as a pastor. Let's sing all the carols. When are we going to sing them? We're going to get to them. Tonight at our 5 o'clock children's service, we'll sing about 5, 6, 7 of the great Christmas carols. Come and you can sing early, a foretaste of Christmas. Christmas Eve, we'll sing about 9 or 10 of the great carols. Christmas Day, another 7 or 8, and onward the next week or two. We're going to get to them. Hold on. Christmas isn't here yet. But we expect that in the church. Good music, good singing. And when it's all said and done, and December 26th is here, what do we expect? To sleep. We expect to be very tired and worn out. I just want to sleep until New Year's Day a week later. Then we got to get pepped up again for New Year's Day. Expectations. And the gospel lesson today is about expectations of God. I don't know what you expect from other people concerning Christmas. The real question is, what do you expect from your God at Christmas? And in 2013, and every other year that God may grant us here on this earth, what do you expect from the baby in the manger? What do you expect from the Lord? John the Baptist learns what to expect as he sits in prison. I want to talk about expectations today. John, I think, has two expectations of the Messiah that are wrong. And Jesus teaches him to have two other expectations of the Messiah. And of course, Jesus is right. What does John expect as he sits there in prison? And he's a lot like us. We expect these same things often. First of all, John expects to be rescued. He has a personal expectation. Jesus, if you're the Messiah, why don't you come and rescue me from jail? Take care of all my temporal problems, all my temple troubles. Come on, Lord, if you're Lord, come on and rescue me from my problems right now because I have problems. I'm in prison, and John might figure he's going to get killed while he's in prison. And put yourself in the shoes of John the Baptist. He was wrongfully put in prison. He hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't stolen anything. He hadn't killed anybody. He hadn't rebelled against the government. All John did is stand up and preach against Herod's sin. Herod had taken his brother's wife to be his own, adultery. And John spoke about it publicly. You're wrong, Herod. And for that he gets thrown in prison? Come on. John's put there unjustly, wrongfully. John, in his own mind, has been a very faithful prophet, and he was. Jesus commends John. There's been no one greater than John the Baptist. He's more than a prophet, even. He's been faithful. He did all the right things. He preached. He baptized. And what do I get? I get jail. If you're the Messiah, why aren't you breaking me out of jail? After all, you got Joseph out of jail in the Old Testament. He was in jail. You got him out. He was second in charge in Egypt. And after all, you rescued David from Saul and Absalom chasing him around. You rescued him. And you rescued Daniel in the lion's den. And you rescued Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fiery furnace. Why not me? I'm a great prophet. Come on, rescue me. And there's no rescue. He sits in jail. And we know what happens. He gets his head cut off. John doesn't merely prepare the way by preaching and baptizing. John prepares the way with his blood. His blood prepares the way for Jesus' blood and the blood of the martyrs that continues today. That's how he prepares the way in the end, his blood, death. And we may have expectations today. God, fix everything in my life. We look at our lives. Fix everything, Lord. Take care of all my temporal problems. If I'm sick, we got a long prayer list, sick people, cancer and sickness. God, make it all better. Come on, God, if you're God, make it better. Take away the pain, take away the disease, and make it all better. You can do it. Why don't you do it? If I don't have a job or a job that I like, God, give me a better job. Give me a job if I don't have one. Come on, God. If I'm in financial crisis, give me some money so I don't have to get rid of my house. What are you doing, God? Fix all my temporal problems right now, God. If I have a bad marriage, I don't get along with my kids, something like that, fix it, God. Come on. Make it all better so I can be happy here on earth if you're really God. And God sometimes does that. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes the illness continues. And you die. Or your loved one dies. Sometimes you don't get the job that you want. Sometimes you lose the job that you have. Sometimes there's suffering. Sometimes there's pain. The marriage doesn't get better. The other relationship doesn't get better. All the bad stuff doesn't go away. The Lord is teaching John, he's teaching us not to expect rescue from all your temporal problems. Expect rejection from the world. That's the hard lesson John the Baptist learns. You're my disciple, Christ is saying. You're my follower, you're my prophet. You're going to be rejected. It's not all going to work out all the time for you. You're going to be hated. I'm hated, Christ is saying. You're going to be hated. I bear the cross. You're going to bear the cross. I'm not wanted. No room in the inn. They're not going to want you either. Expect rejection. Expect some suffering. Expect to bear the cross. Christ is open about that. What do I expect for Christmas from Jesus? Suffering. A cross. Rejection. Things won't always work out the way I want them to. Expect that, he says. For John and for us. But God is ever working good through that. God doesn't hate us where I'm just going to take a cross on you because I don't like you. God loves us. And through those crosses and that pain, he humbles us. Anybody need a dose of humility? I got my hand really high up there. Did John the Baptist need a dose of humility? I think so. He humbles us. God's purpose is not that we have a nice, easy, happy life here and everything works out all the time. God's purpose here is that I be conformed to the image of Jesus. That I have faith in Christ, I desire Christ, and I ever be conformed in my living to be a little Jesus. And so he may allow pain and suffering to form me as a potter molds the clay. He is forming me, molding me to be like Jesus, to be a witness, to be a voice, to be a light, to be the salt of the earth. That's God's purpose. Not to make me happy and smile all the time, but I want you to be like Jesus. I get rid of the bad stuff, so I'm going to cut away the bad stuff. I'm going to prune the bush. You might be like Jesus. We don't like it. That's his purpose. Take up your cross and follow me. The cross comes before the crown. Pain comes before glory. That's the message of John the Baptist. You know what many people did on 12-12-12 this past, what was it, Wednesday, December 12, 2012? You know what a lot of people did? They went out and got married. I read in the paper, I guess the chapels were full. A lot of people wanted to get married on that Wednesday. They didn't get married here, but they got married somewhere. 12-12-12. Why did people get married on 12-12-12? Well, I hope love was maybe one of the reasons. Another reason was it's a catchy date. And the husband can remember the date, hopefully. 12-12-12. I can get that one down. It shouldn't be hard for us to remember the love of God. It shouldn't be hard for us to remember the love of God when we suffer. When John's in prison, going to get his head cut off. Recall the love of God when you suffer. Bring it to mind. The manger, the cross, he died for me. The resurrection, he rose again. And death, sin, and the devil are defeated. My baptism, we are to call. Holy communion, I partake of. Christ's body and blood, here is the love of God. God loves me. God forgives me. God will work it all for my good in the end. I trust him. I put my faith in him. No more doubts, no more worries. God is good. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice, even when I'm in prison, like Paul in Philippians, John the Baptist. John is in a physical prison, but because of Jesus, he is really free. Free from sin, free from the fear of death. John will have his head cut off, but because of Jesus, he will live again and have a new head and a new body in paradise. That's John the Baptist. John is hated. What's the matter? He's loved by Jesus. He would shed his blood for him. John has no friends. He's lonely. What's it matter? For what a friend we have in Jesus. Expectations. A second thing, more on a worldly scale, that John's expecting. John's expecting revenge on all the bad guys. Rescue me, God, from my jail. Take care of my problems. And then get revenge on all the bad guys and all the evildoers out there. Where's that at, Messiah? Get revenge. John's expecting fire. But Jesus forgives. John's expecting heavy law from this Messiah. But Jesus loves even the worst of sinners. What kind of king is this guy? What kind of Messiah is he? You know the words of John the Baptist in his preaching. John's kind of like a foggy Old Testament prophet. He doesn't understand everything quite yet. We understand that. Christ hasn't died and risen yet. But he has faith still, John. But John pictured the Messiah, number one, having an axe in his hand. Remember the words of John the Baptist? The axe is already at the root of the trees. The Messiah is going to bring a big axe. He's going to chop you down if you don't start bearing fruit. But Jesus didn't have an axe in his hand. Jesus touched the blind with his hands and gave him sight. He touched the dead and raised him from the dead. He touched the lame and they walked. He invited little children to come up and he blessed them with his hands and touched them with his hands. What kind of Messiah is he? He loves too much. He forgives too much. Where's the axe? And in his hands is absolution and healing and life. John also expects the Messiah to call down fire. He said he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's John the Baptist. He'll separate the wheat and the chaff. Burn up that chaff with unquenchable fire. He expects the Messiah to call down fire. Sodom and Gomorrah. The ministry of Moses somewhat called down fire. Elijah called down fire. Consumed people. Where's the fire at? Where's the vengeance on Herod, who put him in jail? Where's the vengeance on all the Roman leaders? Where's the vengeance on the Pharisees who rejected John, on the Sadducees and all the evil people? Where's your punishment, God? Why does evil win out over good? Why am I in jail and all these guys are partying? Where's the vengeance? Where's the fire? And Jesus doesn't bring fire. He brings forgiveness. He forgives Matthew. John's thinking, why not burn him to hell? He's a tax collector. Jesus forgives Zacchaeus. He forgives the adulterous woman. I do not cast a stone either. Where's your accusers? He forgives the paralytic. Son, your sins are forgiven. What kind of Messiah is he? John is ahead of his time, you say, in expectations. John's already thinking of the last day. And on the last day, there will be an axe. On the last day, there will be fire. There will be vengeance on all the evildoers and all the unbelievers. There will be that. Christ will bring that on the last day. But in between now, we've had 2,000 years plus. In between, there's not an axe, there's absolution. In between, not fire, but forgiveness. In between, there's grace, there's love, there's salvation, there's forgiveness today. That's what you ought to expect. Don't expect revenge, John. Expect redemption and restoration and resurrection. Expect not law, John. Expect love now. The love of God preached. The gospel preached to the poor. That's what we do in the church. You may not know what to expect from other people at Christmas. Know what to expect from God. Today, in 2013, in 2014, know what to expect from God until you die or until He comes back. Expect mercy in the church. Expect that when you get on your knees and you confess that I, the pastor, as God's voice, Him speaking through me, you're going to be forgiven. You're not going to be thrown out. Go and burn in hell. That's not what the pastor says. Get out of here. God didn't love you. Expect me to say you're forgiven. Now stand up and rejoice. And expect to get in your hands and in your mouth. Not poison. Not pain. Expect to receive peace in the body and blood of Jesus. And go home forgiven. Saved and redeemed with new life. Your eyes are opened. You walk in the paths of righteousness. You're saved. You're redeemed. You're going to get that as long as I'm pastor here. It's grace. It's mercy. You know what was the number one word searched for on the internet this year? I heard where the number one word that people did a search on was socialism. And right behind socialism, democracy, capitalism. Why? Well, we just finished an election. And a lot of people looking up, what is socialism? What is democracy? What is capitalism? What is all this stuff? We want a good government. And we don't always have it. We don't probably have it now when we get frustrated. And we want good government in the whole world, for that matter. We want a good ruler. We want good government. I'm here to tell you today what the best government is. It's not democracy. It is not democracy. The best government is a kingdom, where you have a perfect, good king who loves his people, who provides for his people totally, who protects his people, who dies for his people, who rises for his people, and allows his people to live in his palace happily ever after. That's the best government. A king, good and perfect. And there's only one such king. And congregation, what's his name? Jesus. John's wondering, what kind of king are you? What kind of Messiah are you? Christ is saying, I'm a king who loves you. I'm a king who will suffer and die for you, John. Rise again that you may have resurrection and new life. And I'm going to take you to my palace in heaven to live with me forever. That's the kind of king I am. You want me or not? What do you expect from the Lord this Christmas in 2013? Expect rejection. You're a follower. You're going to suffer. You're going to be hated. Expect it. But God's working on you for good. Trust that. Expect redemption, forgiveness, mercy. And on the last day, expect resurrection of the body for John the Baptist, for you and I. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let's rise and sing. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing.